If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we will read the first three verses, Acts chapter 1. It's an exciting book of the Bible, the book of Acts. Paul's missionary journeys, all the people getting saved, churches being established. And that's gone on since that time. Churches being started. It's just a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. What a privilege. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he would, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Many infallible proofs. And let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that we trust it is true. And I pray that you'd put a love for it in the heart of every person here. And thank you for proving yourself to us over and over and over. Thank you that the word has been tried and proven. Bless now as we preach and hear your word. Be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a blessing. Many infallible proofs. Evidence proves things, and God certainly gives us a lot of evidence. We're having the Lord's Supper today, and it's important that that is real to us, that we remember the death of our Savior and his shed blood and the sacrifice, and that we love and worship him and thank him for that. And in that text that we usually read when we have the Lord's Supper, there's a verse that says, let a man examine himself. Christianity is so personal. Amen. Somebody can't get saved for you. They can't get right for you. They can't enjoy God for you. It's a personal thing. And when we come to the Lord's Supper to remember that and to bring honor to God, our heart is at stake. And so we need to be able to feed that heart with the Word of God and the love of God. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of all of that. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. And if there is, lead me. So that's a promise that he makes. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, we examine ourselves. And sometimes we don't see what God sees. Amen? So we ask God to search us, that we might be worthy of serving him and loving him. God gives us reliable, infallible evidence in the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. So let's pray today that we increase our faith, that our hearts are tender, that help. We ask God to help our unbelief, open our eyes, enlighten us for his glory. There's a verse in the Psalms, and I think it's very appropriate for today. It's time for thee, O Lord, to work. It's time to work. Amen. And God has dung around that tree all these years because he found no fruit. And it's time that he comes and he finds the fruit that we need to give to him. In Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's our faith. And sometimes it's not seeing some circumstances change. It's just what the Word of God says, and that's where we put our faith. But there's an evidence there, and God is always working. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more we're in the Bible, the greater faith we have. So if we're asking God to increase our faith, he takes us to the Scripture. Amen? When we don't have the Scripture, we're confused, and we hear all of these voices. And beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, because that will corrupt you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So thank God for the Bible, amen? And it's full of many infallible proofs. That evidence is in each individual heart. Our faith is strong. Sometimes our faith gets weak, but we can always come back to the Lord and have that reestablished. To prove means to establish or ascertain as truth, reality or fact, by testimony or other evidence, to try and to examine. God says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Amen. Thy word is truth, and the Spirit will guide us into all truth. And so again, we always go back to the scriptures. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. He loads us daily with benefits. All the blessings of his word. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And so we've read this morning. Amen. You read your Bible this morning before you came to church. You had your devotions. You spent some time in prayer. You asked God. I was going to say you thank God for the message, but you asked God for the right message. And hopefully you thank God for it when I'm done. Amen. But it's so important to hear from God. And this is how he does it. Amen? I mean, you have a personal relationship with the Lord. Rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So God wants us to pray. Pray without ceasing. And so we pray in church, but that's different than personal prayer. And so he asks us to do that because he wants to bless us. The first time the word prove is used in the Bible, amen, is in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. And this is the story about Israel has come out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and God is sustaining them. He's sending bread from heaven. You know the story. That's repeated in John chapter 6. But he sends bread from heaven to feed the nation of Israel. And this is what he said to them. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, very specific, certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And guess what? They failed the exam. Amen? They were supposed to gather twice as much for their Sabbath, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. But here they started gathering more than they needed per day. And the Bible says that the bread produced worms, and they ate the bread, and it was corrupted. But God tried them and proved them, and they failed that. And I noticed something. He didn't rain fire and brimstone on them. He rained bread on them. He gave them a blessing, but it didn't seem to be enough or the way they wanted it to come. And here, you know, fire and brimstone, you could identify that. Okay, I'll get out of Sodom, you know, I'll do that. But here he was blessing them. And that blessing, rather than made them more dependent on him, made them go their own way. We have to be careful about that. The last time, well, let me just say this. There's a verse in Matthew that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is a gift from heaven. God is raining down bread. We have a little devotional. Amen? The daily bread. And so God tells us to do that. Every day we're to feed on that daily bread because that increases our faith. When our faith is increased, we serve the Lord. We live for God. And we're the testimony that we need to be. The last time the word proved is used in the Bible is in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 9. But it's still about the same story. It's about the wandering in the wilderness. And it says there, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, the wilderness wanderings. They proved him. One preacher wrote this, they saw God's works of providence. We saw that on the news yesterday. We saw God's providence in furnishing them with the necessities of life, in guiding, protecting, supporting them for the space of 40 years in the wilderness. In the wilderness, it had to come from God. And his miracles and the punishment of their enemies, according to his promise. He said he would take care of them, and that's exactly what he did. God examines and tries man, and man examines and tries God. So it goes both ways. God, prove this to me. I'm going to pray. Answer my prayer. And sometimes he proves that to us. Man cannot prove in his heart that the things of God are real until he first prove in his heart that God is real. And when God is real to you, his word becomes real. His providence becomes real. His circumstances, everything starts to become real because you believe that God is real. Amen? And if God has said it and God has spoken it and God allows it, we are able to follow him and know that will be a blessing to us. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith, we come to God because we believe, amen? Because without faith, you cannot please God. And so we ask and we pray and we work because we know God is going to use us for something. Back in the Old Testament, I brought it out last week, God said to Moses when he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "I am that I am." And so we come to the book of Hebrews and we say, "He is that he is." Amen. God said he is, and so we say amen to that. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Let me read that again. Sometimes when we memorize the verses or they're familiar, we lose the meaning and we just fly through them. But think about the gravity of this verse. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so when we read the Bible and we find out what God wants us to do, we do it, and it proves his perfect will. God may prove man and find him wanting, but you'll never prove God and find him wanting. Remember the story in 1 Kings about Solomon? Man, what a wise man that he was, and God answered his prayer. But the Queen of Sheba came, and she's going to do something. She heard about all the things that he'd done. In verse 1 of chapter 10, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." You've heard a lot about God. You've read a lot about God. But it's time for us to put that to work. Amen? And to see if that does work. And we'll get to that in a minute. I think it would be a blessing. In Luke chapter 11, verse 31, Jesus said, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and will condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Every time God speaks, and we can prove him, we're searching the scriptures because they talk about him. We're trying to find an answer to the burdens and blessings of life. And we know that God is at work. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so all of these truths, and every day it's like a blessing. Amen? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And so here's the heavenly manna falling. And all we have to do is gather it. All we have to do is partake of it in faith. Amen? Don't read the Bible just, "Those are facts and I'm going to learn the facts." Read the Bible and see how it applies to you, because everybody has a different need this morning. Amen? And God can meet every need of everybody's life. Turn to John chapter 6, if you will. Back a little ways. John chapter 6. So many stories in the Bible. You know, the longer you're saved and you look back at when you first got saved, or maybe your ups and downs, or how you doubted God in this instance, and then he came through, the longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen? It's like the older lady that had in her Bible T and P, all marked up on all the pages, and it meant tried and proved. And that's that hoary head. That's that mature believer. That's that person who has put God to the test over and over and over and found him to be true. Because he is true. Amen? His word cannot be broken. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall these buy bread that these may eat?" What are we going to do, Philip? Now there's a lot of people here. What are we going to do? Verse 6, "This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." He said that to Philip. He already knew what he was going to do. He wanted to see how Philip responded. And Philip said, "Well, if we had this much money, we still couldn't do anything." Remember the little lad with the little lunch? And there was so much left over because God knew what he was going to do. And sometimes the question will come into our mind, or we'll read it in the Bible. It's a question about, what am I going to do? God already knows what he's going to do. And we have to trust him for that. Amen? It's a blessing. These stories are over and over in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. He worked in their life to prove the sincerity of their love. And that's something that goes on all the time, to prove the sincerity of their love. It wasn't just their financial gift. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. You have 1 Timothy 3:10. It's talking about deacons, and we have two wonderful deacons. But it says, let these also first be proved. Our deacons are involved in the church. They're always here. They're looking for things to do to help the ministry. They're good men, and they have been proved. Amen? And they're supposed to be proved first. We have 2 Corinthians 13:5. Prove your own selves. And it's talking about examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. Galatians 6:4. But let every man prove his own work. One more. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Once you prove it, hang on to it. Amen? Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your history. And you can go back. And yesterday he helped me, today he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever, praise his name. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, the next verse says. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll let our fingers do the walking. James chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That word, that seed, is planted in his heart. It's memorized in his mind. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Remember the other message we brought? If you name the name of Christ, you need to depart from iniquity. Amen? Just makes sense. So God's always instructing. God is always leading us. Somebody said the proof is in the pudding. I don't know what that means. The proof is in the pudding. What is that? If it tastes good? I don't know, but the proof is in the pudding. Praise the Lord for that. Titus chapter 1. So the other verse was, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But you have to prove it. I could get up here and I could tell you or teach you, go through the book of James or go through the book of Ephesians. I'll say, look at this truth and look at that truth. But until you prove it, you're not going to hang on to something you haven't proved. So you prove it and then you hold it fast. Listen to the verses. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Holding fast the faithful word. So you believe in the word, and so you hang on to it. And that's how you grow as a believer. Amen? You grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story about one of David's mighty men back in the Old Testament. And he was a strong, good fighter, and he fought the enemy all day with a sword. And he was victorious. He defeated and killed a number of the enemy. But when the day was over, he tried to put his sword down, but his hand clayed to the sword. I don't know if you've ever been hammering on a roof, putting shingles on, but if you're doing the old-fashioned way, you know, with a hammer, pretty soon you can't let go of the hammer. I mean, your hand is like crimped around it. But here he fought all day with the sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you need to fight that battle all day. Amen? But it's always there for you to win that battle. Hold fast the faithful word. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold fast. Why would you give to the Lord? Why would you financially support a church and support missions? Why would you do that? Why would you work for God? Why would you be a witness for God? Why would you read your Bible? Why do you spend time in prayer? Is that something that God proved to you that that was His will and something that He's going to minister to you if you fulfill His will? And if He's done that, you hold fast. Amen? Well, I remember I used to have devotions, or I used to do this, or I used to... No, hold it fast. Don't let it go. Amen? That's a blessing. Because you have proved something, if you prove something, then you hold fast to it. But let me give you another point here. We should say, I have proved someone. You have to prove God before you really are invested. Amen? And listen to this verse, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. This is God speaking. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. People argue about tithes. Tithe is 10%, and that's what we do here at the church. But people argue about that. And you say, well, I don't think we ought to tithe. I think we ought to just give to God. Well, give to God like they did in the book of Acts when they were starting the church. Go sell all your property and give it to the church. Amen. I'm kidding about that. But somewhere we support the house of God, and we do all of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That is a promise from God. And if you have proved that, you know, cast your bread on the waters, and after many days you'll receive it again. That bread is the word, and it comes back. That word will not return void. Amen? Do you believe that? That's what God says. What's it say in one of the Psalms? It says, going forth weeping, bearing precious seed, you'll doubtless come again with your sheaves rejoicing, that God did something with that word. The word will not return void. And if you believe that and you want to honor God, you hold fast to that truth and you give the word out. I preach the Bible. Amen? I preach the Bible whether people are sleeping or whether they're interested. I preach the Bible if they're looking at their watches or if they're just on the edge of their seat. When we would go to the mission field, they never let you quit. I mean, you just go on and on and on and on and on. But sometimes you kind of get the feel that the message is over. Amen? But you still give the Word of God out, and I'm all for that. I spoke with a fella this past week. Doesn't go to church here. But I spoke with him, and he's got a lot of trials in his life right now. And I knew him a long time ago, but he has a lot of trials in his life. And when I talked to him about the Lord and tried to give him some comfort from the Scriptures, he started blaming God. And it was so sad that he didn't see that God is going to do something with this. And I don't know how God works in everybody's life. I wish everybody be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen? But not everybody is healthy, wealthy, but you can still be wise. Amen. But there are all kinds of things that happen to people. And I listened to him for a while, and I tried to minister to him, but I couldn't go anywhere with him because he had no confidence in the Word of God. And he had no proof that God was doing this for his good. Amen. Because we need to have that in order to serve and honor the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it talks about casting down imaginations and every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Our minds are plagued all the day. The devil's on this shoulder, the angel's on this shoulder, right? Doubt and belief and faith. But the Bible tells us that that's how we fight. And we fight with the sword of the Spirit. We have Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why you need to know the Bible. Amen? We got some truck drivers here. Okay, they're driving down the road. The devil's attacking them. I'll just read and drive at the same time. Not a good idea, guys. Not a good idea. But maybe you're listening to it on the radio, if you can find it, or a tape, or not a tape, CD. Yeah, it's an old message. Amen. A-track, cassette, whatever you want. But we need the Bible, don't we? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I don't want to sin against God, because my sin will part God's blessing from my life. And so I want to be blessed. I want to honor God with what I'm doing. But if I sin, that's not good. So thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Make much of that. What works for you? What works for you? You say, well, I haven't tried any of this. About time. Amen. It's time for God to work. In Hebrews, it talks about besetting sins. The sins that doth so easily beset me. You need to know some Bible about that. Whether it's pride, whether it's anger, you know, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what do you do with that? You memorize verses on anger. You get in touch with the Lord. I want to please you, Lord. Show me the word. And then when the temptation comes up or the sin is there, quote the Bible. That's how you fight the devil. What works for you? Does anybody know? You don't say anything. But just think about it. Just think about it. Just think about it. What works for you personally? What Bible principles work for you? What have you proved? The story about David, remember the shepherd boy, he's just a young boy. And the nation of Israel under Saul is fighting against the Philistines. And all his brothers are fighting. And nobody would face the giant. Nobody would face Goliath. And so David comes along. And he says, well, man, I'll face him. I'm condensing this story. So he says, I'll go out and fight him. And Saul says, okay, here, put my armor on. Now, Saul is head and shoulders above everybody in the kingdom. He's the guy that should have been fighting Goliath. And David's just a teenage boy. Amen? He wasn't a basketball player. He's just a little kid. I don't think they invented basketball back then. But anyway, he said, I'll go fight him. And Saul says, here, put this armor on. And here's the verse. 1 Samuel 17:39. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. He waited, he hesitated, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. David put them off because he hadn't proved them. They didn't do him any good in the past in battle, but something did him good. Amen. And that was a sling. And he killed a lion and a bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will just be like one of those. I'll just kill him and God will give me the strength to do it. He had proved that. He took off the helmet from his head. He ungirt the sword upon his armor. He stripped himself of the coat of mail and went forth entirely unarmed. But he was armed. Amen. He was armed. He just wasn't armed with the world thought he should be armed with. It says in 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He knew that would work. He trusted God. What do you know about God? What have you proved in the past? Some prayer, some grace that he gives you, a strength, a guidance, a help, amen, comfort in time of need. He's a God of all comfort, and he's able to comfort us in all our tribulations so that we might be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. The Bible says that. So he's going to comfort me so I can help somebody else. He might put me through this and then give me the victory. I need to hold on to it, amen. And then there will be an opportunity somewhere to use it for his glory. It's a blessing. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I like reading all these verses. You don't have to study. Romans 13. And think about everything we've read so far. Have you grasped it? Have you hung on to it? Do you remember where we read it and what it would do for you? Here's another portion of Scripture, Romans 13. Let's start here. Oh, let me see. Verse 11. And that knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's a lot there. There's a lot of teaching there that we can hang on. The Bible tells us there are things that we need to put off and things we need to put on. David put off the armor that Saul thought he should have, but David had already proved how God worked in his life. So he put that off, and he says, I'll fight the enemy with God. Amen? And here it's another illustration of that. Put off the works of darkness, and then put on the armor of God, put on the armor of light. But so many verses, things to put off first before you put something on. Colossians 3:8. Now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice. Malice is ill will. It's a terrible thing. You wish evil on somebody. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with all of his deeds. It doesn't work. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It goes on. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's so much unforgiveness in the world. How many times should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And he meant just keep on forgiving. Amen. Bitterness. If there's a root of bitterness in you, it will trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled because of the bitterness in your own heart. All these things need put off before you put something on. You can't be bitter and put on long suffering and kindness. You cannot do that. So you've got to put something off first. Why would you not want to do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says, all the things that charity does for you, charity is kind, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own. All of the wonderful things that charity does, because charity, love in action, charity never faileth. Whoa, is that verse in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Charity never faileth. Well, if that works, then I can be kind and not be selfish or self-centered. I can do things for other people because it never fails. Say, what does that mean? Go and find out. Amen? Read it. Study it. See what God says to you, because it has to be something that works for you. Amen. Amen. Have you put on the whole armor of God? Have you proved it? Have you been in a battle with it? Helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, amen. You know, there's only one of those weapons. Well, there's if you put on the whole armor of God, there's only one area of the body that's not taken care of. The shield is frontal, the head, everything, the feet, the sword. But there was no armor for the back. When Paul wrote this, he was looking at a Roman soldier. And they were the greatest fighting men that the world has ever known. There could be 16 of them. They called it a quaternion. And there'd be four, four, and four. And they could defend what was ever in the middle of them against hundreds. They were just like buzzsaws. They were great fighting men. But there was no armor for the back, because there was no retreat. There was no withdrawal. There was no running away. And that's where the devil gets us, doesn't he? long as we're serving the Lord, trusting God, going on for God. Sure, there's obstacles all over. There's enemies on the right hand and to the left hand. But God can deliver us. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 or 10,000. The stories are in the Bible. As long as we keep going for God, it's when we stop and we get the wrong mindset and we stop holding fast the faithful word that we have been taught and we let it go and we go back the other way. It's called backsliding. Not a good place to be. The joy goes, the peace goes, the power goes, the wisdom goes, the comfort goes. Get back in the battle, amen? Because the battle is raging. And we are given weapons to overcome. Be not overcome of evil. Here's a good one. But overcome evil with good. That verse is in the Bible. Amen? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Grab that. Prove that. Hold fast to that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are overcomers. God has said that to prove us. God does things in our life to prove us. Again, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's why you need faith. Remember, we studied Job a little bit in Sunday school. And when you read the first two chapters of Job, you wonder, how did he get through that? How did he ever get through that? And one time in each chapter it says, in all this, in all of these trials, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Something happens, you know, maybe the car doesn't start. That is a big trial, man. That is like earth moving. That is the worst thing in the world that can happen to anybody. Now, you just recharge the battery, right? Amen. Or you take it to the shop and get it fixed. Those aren't big trials. Amen. There's people that complain about stuff like that. Yeah. Amen. Somebody, you're on the freeway or something and you got a slow driver. Again, our truck drivers. These guys, they are so pure and so good. And right, John? I mean, the road is just a wonderful place to be. Yeah, the sun's shining, you know, you can have the wind hit you in the face, you know, because you never got the windshield fixed. I mean, all those different things that go on. And there's a crazy driver. Is she a woman or is he a man? I'll let you decide. Boy, I think I just ruined the message. But, I mean, there's bad drivers. Man, you know, let's have a nice trip. I've got a picture in my office at home, and I usually pray in there, and I have a place where I kneel, and it's on the wall of the cross where I can see it. It's a picture of the Apostle Paul, and he's in prison, and he's chained with one hand, and his feet have sunk in the mire like Jeremiah, if you know the story. And there's a little bit of light coming through a cell window, and he's writing. He's writing one of his prison epistles. And when I start my prayer with that, I am just so encouraged. It's something that I've proved in my life. And it's something that I hold fast to. Amen? Get something today that's going to change your life. All this Bible, remember some of it. If you forget some of it, get the CD and listen to it again. But get something from God. Get one of the promises. Prove Him. He said, prove me now herewith. I'll pour out a blessing. Just prove me. And when you prove Him, then you'll be able to prove His word. Because he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to put that together like that. And He will certainly bless you. Helen Keller, you know her story. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of suffering. Bernard of Clairvaux, only by desertion can we be defeated. With Christ and for Christ, victory is certain. We can lose the victory by flight, but not by death. Happy are you if you die in battle, for after death you'll be crowned. But woe to you if by forsaking the battle you forfeit at once both the victory and the crown. Don't go back. Don't quit. Keep going for God. Amen. And keep going. A weak faith is weakened by predicaments and catastrophes, whereas a strong faith is strengthened by the same. Turn to one more portion of Scripture and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the Apostle Paul. What a great Christian he was. And he says, beginning in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What is the ministry of the thorn? I was given, God did this, I was given a thorn in the flesh. What did that thorn do for him? It kept him humble. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessed thing when we get self-sufficient and proud and we compare ourselves with others and that's not wise, when we're looking how better we are than somebody else? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we had a thorn in the flesh? And maybe you do. Maybe you've recognized that. And here Paul is thanking God for it. Listen to the rest of the verses. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I don't want this, Lord. You ever pray like that? Take this away. Change this. I don't want this in my life. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a great verse. Amen. God is going to bless so mightily if you just have his grace, his comfort, his strength. And then it says, here's the evidence. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we ask to be strong when we need to ask to be weak, because God's going to bless us. His grace is sufficient. A lot of trials in our church. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes there's ups and downs. Sometimes you have great faith. Sometimes you don't have faith at all. Lord, why are you doing this? Why don't you stop the storm? You can do that. He will if that's what he needs to do in your life. Amen. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. He's proved himself over and over and over. Amen. Go back to that. Think of it. Remember it. Call upon it. While I was musing, the fire burned. Spend much time in the Bible. This Bible comes down from heaven. Amen. It's the bread of life. It'll transform your life. It'll give you an abundant life. As we feast on it, we will never hunger, because God's going to cure that hunger. God can bless you. God can bless me, all of us, for his glory. Take something away. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. I hope you know Christ is your Savior today. I trust that you've accepted him, that you've admitted you were a sinner and you needed a Savior. And if you've done that, you'll have a home in heaven. One day it will be worth it all. If you've not done that, I encourage you to do that today. Think of your trial. Think of your blessing. Think of your heartache. Think of your benefit. Think of how God has been good to you, and strengthen yourself in that. Father, we love you. We so appreciate your kindness to us. Lord, we don't understand most of what goes on in our life, but we trust you. We trust you. I pray that our faith would increase and that you'd be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen.